This morning I want to speak to you on from Mark chapter 16. And then, of course, next Sunday we'll have Brother Han will be with us from Malaysia, and we'll be sharing during the Sunday school hour about his work. And so I want to encourage you, if you didn't get one of those little purple sheets that has the schedule for this week, I hope you'll get one of those and even now plan to be in each one of those services. And we have some special things starting this morning, some things that we've never done before. On Wednesday night we'll be having a mission video called Etal, The Next Story, or The Story Continues, I believe it is. Be showing that. Very interesting video that I think you'll find not only enjoyable, I believe you'll find it very challenging. We'll be showing that on Wednesday night. Friday night we'll be having our international dinner and potluck fellowship, and be having Sister Dolly. We'll be sharing her work then. And then, of course, on Saturday we have the men's breakfast at 8:30 in the morning, and then the ladies will be meeting at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then, of course, next Sunday our regular schedule. Brother Han will be with us in the morning. Brother Dave Kearney will be closing things out for us in the 2 o'clock service in the afternoon. And so I hope that you'll just make it a plan to be with us in each of these services throughout this week. Now, this morning I want to speak to you especially on the subject of missions, and deal particularly with our challenges as well as our opportunities. Our challenges as well as our opportunities. And so let's begin this morning by noticing, first of all, our challenge. And in verse number 15, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's the challenge this morning that we face. That is the challenge that we face. And certainly this is a great challenge when we consider the numbers that are involved. The population of our world today, it seems like just a very short time ago, we were all amazed that the population of the world had reached 6 billion people. Everybody was shocked. Wow, 6 billion people, how can that be? Now today, 7.2 billion people are in our world. We're living in a world where the population is exploding, and yet our challenge has not changed. The mission that God gave to us has not changed. It is still our responsibility to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That means every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. It is our responsibility to share with them the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the challenge that we face. But not only is this a great challenge just because of the sheer numbers that are involved. Not only is it a challenge just because of the great multitude of people who are still totally unreached. There are some other factors that I would like to mention to you this morning that causes this to be a great challenge for us. It's a challenge to fulfill this great commission that our Savior has given to us, first of all, because of the spiritual factor. The spiritual factor. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and verse number 4, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Here's the spiritual factor. The spiritual factor. It is a challenge for us to carry the gospel to every person simply because of the fact every person without Christ is blinded by Satan. That's the spiritual factor. They have been blinded by Satan. Satan does not want them to know. He does not want them to understand. And he does not want them to experience the saving power of God's grace. In other words, bottom line, the spiritual factor simply means we are involved in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual warfare. And we need to understand that that is true. That's why places are becoming more and more difficult. It's becoming harder and harder to carry the gospel to other nations. Nations are closing their doors, and we're going to talk more about that in just a minute. But we need to understand it is a spiritual warfare that we're involved in. So there's this spiritual factor. Now we know from the scriptures that Jesus Christ died for all men. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. Jesus Christ died for all men. And the salvation of all men, according to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the salvation of all men is God's desire. It's God's will. God is not willing that any should perish. God's desire is that all men might be saved. And so therefore, it is no surprise to us. It's no surprise that Satan, who hates God, who hates the work of God, who hates every person that loves God and wants to obey God, Satan is going to do everything he can to stop the spread of the gospel, to bring about the destruction and the eternal damnation of those who do not know Jesus Christ. In fact, notice what the Apostle Paul, the great missionary, said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 18. The Apostle Paul said to the people there in Thessalonica, he said, "We would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but," what does it say? "Satan hindered us." We're in a spiritual war. And so we need to understand that there is the challenge in fulfilling the Great Commission. There is this challenge that we face. It's called the spiritual factor. Anytime we strive to take the gospel for Jesus Christ to the world as He is commanded, we literally enter into the domain of the wicked one. And he will certainly do everything he can to hinder, to discourage, to stop what it is that God has commanded us to do. The spiritual factor. Then I want you to notice there's also the political factor. Throughout history, the political landscape has changed in many ways. The political landscape has changed in many ways. When the Apostle Paul was a missionary, he did not have to worry about passports. He did not have to worry about visas. Okay? Didn't have to worry about those things. Since Rome ruled the world, and since Paul was a Roman citizen, he could go anywhere he wanted to freely. He had free passage. And so the landscape, however, has changed. When the old Roman Empire passed off the scene in 476, the Pope tried to maintain his authority over the kings and the kingdoms. However, in spite of all of his threatenings, kings and kingdoms began to slowly grow in power. And those same kingdoms began to exercise independence. We are our own state. We're not going to have an outsider telling us how to do our business. That was the attitude. That was the attitude. But with the Protestant Reformation, and especially the break from the Pope and King Henry VIII in 1534, nationalism became a growing force. And it became stronger and stronger and stronger. In fact, by the middle of the 19th century, the influence of the East India Company and thereby the English Crown had extended across most of India and Burma and this little place where we are here, Singapore, and even Hong Kong. The influence of the British had expanded around the world through the East India Company. In other words, they were able to do what could not be accomplished with military power. They were able to do what the military could not do, and they did it with money. Everybody wants good business, right? Everybody wants good business. And so as a result of that, in 1920, the British Empire covered one-fourth of the world's land area and one-fifth of the world's population was under British rule. Now that's a fact of history. But there's an amazing thing. Those ships that carried British wealth to the world also carried Christian missionaries. We're on the same ships. Christian missionaries were on those same ships. And sadly, because of the cruelty and because of the dishonesty of those early traders who were said to be from Christian nations, people naturally began to view Christianity with suspicion. They began to view Christianity as something that could not be trusted. It would take advantage of you. It would rob from you. It would steal from you. And therefore, it was something that was not to be trusted. And most people did not want to have anything to do with that Western religion. That's where the mindset came from. However, in spite of the hindrances, it cannot be denied, in spite of the hindrances, those British and English trading companies played a vital part in transporting the early missionaries and the gospel of Jesus Christ to foreign lands. But today, we live in a totally different world. We live in a totally different world from this one here. Today we live in a world that is vastly changed. You see, in 1900 there were only 57 independent nations in the world. In 1900 there was only 57 independent nations. Today there are 192 independent nations and who are members of the United Nations. And since the Vatican and Kosovo, which are considered independent states, because of the fact they have never joined the UN, most people will say there are actually 194 independent nations in the world today. And the thing that I want you to understand is that's where the challenge is. Because each one of these independent nations has their own laws. And they have their own restrictions. And they have their own rules about religion and other matters. And because of the great change that has come in the world today, we are living in a time when, as I mentioned earlier, many nations are now closing their doors to missions, or they are greatly restricting the work of missions. In other words, with their mouth they say, "We give to you religious freedom," but with their laws they tie your hands so you cannot do anything. That's the world that we live in. That's the time in which we live. And so a great example of it, is seen in what we call today in missions the 1040 window. The 1040 window is that term that was developed in 1990. It is a term which refers to the nations that fit in this area of the world, reaching from 10 degrees longitude to 40 degrees longitude, from North Africa all the way over to the Far East. It's those nations where 67 nations are found in that rectangle. And within those 67 nations are 60% of the world's population. 60% of the world's population live in that rectangle. And the sad fact is that 34 of those nations are Islamic, very much closed to the gospel of Christ. Two of those nations are Hindu, very much restrictive of the gospel of Christ. Seven of those nations are Buddhist nations, very difficult to reach with the gospel of Christ. Three are Marxist or communist nations, very much restrictive, closed to the gospel of Christ. In fact, if you will remember, just a couple of weeks ago in our Sunday bulletin, I wrote about the execution of some 80 people in North Korea. You remember that? And their crime was, among other things, owning a Bible. Can you imagine that? Having your brains blown out for owning a Bible? It happens. It happens in our world today. Many people need to understand that we're living in a time of great difficulty. And in this area right here, known as the least evangelized area of the world, there are literally billions of people, some 4 billion, who have never heard the story or heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the challenge we face. There's a spiritual factor involved. There's a political factor that is involved. But then not only that, there is also the economic factor. There is the economic factor. The bottom line, it's becoming more and more expensive to put missionaries on the foreign field. It's becoming more and more expensive to put missionaries on the field and to keep them there. Missionaries all the time are resigning. And one of the main reasons why they resign is simply because they do not have enough support to maintain themselves on the field. That's sad. That's sad. We face inflation here at home. We know about that. It's costing more and more to live. Someone just sent me a thing the other day. Singapore has just reached the distinction of being the most expensive city in the world. Can you imagine that? Kind of makes me feel queasy inside. Most expensive city in the world. My goodness. And so we live in a time, we see inflation that's here at home, and we understand that, but we also need to remember that what we are experiencing here at home, our missionaries are also facing on the foreign field. The missionaries that are depending on us to support them with our finances in a very real way. They are depending on us, and we need to understand that just as we face inflation here, they face inflation there, not to mention fluctuating exchange rates. Fluctuating exchange rates can cause a missionary, even though they're not spending more, yet it's taking more of their support to maintain just what they have. Economic factors. Many of missionaries face the fact that the dollar that they received last year is not worth this year what it was last year. We have to remember that. We have to consider that. The economic factor, all of these things are challenges. They're challenges. Spiritual factor. Political factor, economic factor. All of these are factors that present a challenge to us as a church to fulfill the commission that God has given to us to carry the gospel into all the world and to give it to every person. Now, even though all of these circumstances have changed, even though all the population has changed, political factors have changed, economic factors have changed, all of these things have changed. Yet, in spite of the fact that all those things have changed, our commission has not changed, has it? We still have the same command. The same commission has still been given. And we're still responsible to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ into all the world. Now, those are the challenges. I want you to notice number two. With those challenges comes opportunities. With those challenges, we are also presented with some wonderful opportunities. Some wonderful opportunities. Three things that I would like to mention this morning. During this time of mission conference, during during this week that we're going to have focused for the next 7 days, totally focused on missions. Three things that I want us to notice here, and three things that we're going to have the opportunity to do. Three things that we're going to have the opportunity to do this week. First of all, we're going to have the opportunity to exercise our faith. To exercise our faith. We're going to talk about this week, we're going to talk about faith. And we're going to talk about faith that is involved in two different areas. First of all, there is the faith to go. The faith to go. Please understand that this does not only apply to those who have been called by God to go to foreign lands. It's not just talking about those missionaries in other places. The thing that we need to understand is that God has called all of us to represent Him. Remember, we're to carry the gospel to who? What was the command? Carry the gospel to every creature. Did you know we cannot fulfill that command if we do not carry the gospel next door or across the street? You see, we can send missionaries to the uttermost parts of the earth, but if we're not reaching people at home, we're still not fulfilling the command that God has given to us. And so we need to exercise our faith, and we need to allow God to work in our hearts and challenge us and help us not only to see the need of the world, but see the need that is around us. In our classrooms and in our workplace and wherever it is that we may be. To understand that that is the place where God has called for us to go. God has called us, every one of us, to be involved in going. Some He calls to go further, but He calls all of us to go. He calls all of us to go. Whether God leads you to cross an ocean or to cross the street, every one of us ought to have our faith challenged. We ought to exercise our faith that during this week we're going to determine that we're going to do all that we can to make known the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever we are, wherever it is that God may place us. It's my prayer during this conference that all of us will see our faith grow in this matter. That all of us will see our faith growing and to the point that we will be actively sharing the story of Christ. But not only must there be a growing in our faith to go, but also there needs to be a growing in our faith to give. A growing in our faith to give. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 13. That's one of those passages I think everybody has memorized. Romans 10, 13, "For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that's normally where we stop, right? We quote that verse and then we end right there. But that's not where the Apostle Paul stopped. Notice he continued. And in verse 14 and verse 15, Paul begins to ask some very potent questions. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? That's an impossibility, isn't it? That's an impossibility. They cannot call on someone in whom they have not believed. And then he follows it with another question. And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? That's another impossibility. That's another totally impossible. Totally impossible. How shall they hear without a preacher? That doesn't mean me or Pastor Moore, or Pastor Tocklip. No, that's talking about a proclaimer, a witness. That's talking about all of us. Talking about all of us. How can they hear unless somebody tells them, proclaims to them, a witness? How can they hear without a preacher? Impossible. Impossible. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Another impossibility. Another impossibility. You see, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14, "The Lord hath ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." They that preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Those who have fully dedicated their lives to the work of ministry here at home are supported by the ministry. And those who go to the foreign fields, they leave their job, they leave their home, they leave their family for the cause of Christ. They're to be supported. They're to be supported by the financial gifts of the local church. Here's the point that I want you to get. Both going and giving requires an element of faith. And during this missions conference, my prayer is that our faith will grow, our faith will be exercised, that we will determine that we're going to do more and we're going to give more to get the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. And I want to tell you that it is going to require of every one of us a step of faith. But let me remind you, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's never easy to do right. It's never convenient to do right. But when we step out by faith, trusting God, depending on God, and doing what God has commanded us to do, that's what pleases God. That's the way we glorify God in our life. Element of faith. Not only are we going to have an opportunity to exercise our faith, but also we're going to have an opportunity to rearrange our priorities. To rearrange our priorities. As we consider the passages that deal with the Great Commission, there are actually five of them. Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, the one that we've looked at this morning. Luke chapter 24, verse 47 to verse 48. John chapter 20, verse number 21. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. Each one of these references very clearly gives to us the commission that God has entrusted to us to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to every person. And it's very clear as we look at all of these passages, it's very clear that the business of evangelizing our world, it's not something that the Lord recommended. It wasn't a suggestion. It was a commandment that God gave. It was a commandment that God gave to us. It's not something that we do if we don't have something more important. It's not something that we do if there's something that's more fitting with our schedule. No, it's a command that God has given. And the reason is simply because of the fact that the salvation of souls. Please understand this. The salvation of souls is God's number one priority. That's why He sent His Son to die for us, isn't it? Because my salvation, your salvation, the salvation of all men, that's God's number one priority. That's God's number one priority. And since God gave His Son to die for the sins of the world so that all the world might be saved, don't you think it's God's desire that all the world should hear about that? I mean, doesn't that just make sense? If God gave His Son so that all the world might be saved, Doesn't it just make sense that God desires all the world to hear about it? Sure. Sure. It's His top priority. It's His top priority. In 1896, Coca-Cola Company was founded with a vision. Their vision was to simply put out a product that would be known and be enjoyed in every corner of the world. I'm all the way over here in Singapore. I enjoyed one just last night. Coca-Cola. The only thing better than Coca-Cola is Pepsi. But no, we won't do that. But since the founding of that company and their vision to produce a product that would be known and enjoyed around the world, 97% of the world's population has heard about Coca-Cola. 97%. They've heard about it. 72% have actually seen one. They've seen a Coca-Cola. And 51% of the world has tried it. They've tasted it. Someone has commented that if God had given the task of world evangelism to the Coca-Cola Company, the job would have been done by now. But He didn't give the task to the Coca-Cola Company. He gave it to us. He gave it to His church. Our responsibility. Our responsibility is to carry the gospel to every person. It's God's top priority. And during this week, my prayer is that God will work in our hearts so that we will rearrange our priorities so that our top priority will be in line with God's top priority, to carry the gospel to every person. There's a third thing that we're going to have the opportunity to do during this week, and that is to glorify our God. To glorify our God. By the way, this is not something we have to work at, contrary to popular belief. This is not something we have to strive for. It's not something we have to diligently try to achieve. Comes automatic. Comes automatic. In other words, when we begin to exercise our faith in obedience to God's Word, and we begin to adjust our priorities so they are the same as God's priorities, the automatic result is going to be God is going to be glorified. It's automatic. It's automatic. But not only is it automatic, let me just say this. It is also impossible if we do not obey the first two. You see, if we obey the first two, then glorifying God, it's an automatic thing. Done deal. But if we do not obey those first two, then there's no way we can glorify God. Individually or collectively as a church, no way we can glorify God. That's why we need to remember what Jesus said. John 15, verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. That you bear much fruit. I believe there's a lot of things that God desires to accomplish. I believe there's a lot of things God desires to do through Heritage Baptist Church. But in order for His desire to be fulfilled, in order for His plan and purpose for our church to be realized, it's going to require that each one of us do our part. Take advantage of the opportunities that God is going to give to us this week. Take advantage of the opportunity to exercise our faith. Take advantage of the opportunity to rearrange our priorities where that His priority becomes our priority. And take advantage of the opportunity to truly glorify God in our life. During this week of Faith Promise Missions Conference, I want to encourage every one of you here this morning to begin praying. And throughout the whole of this week, I want to encourage you to be praying and asking God exactly what He would desire to do in your heart, in your life, so that your faith might grow, your priorities might be in line with His, and so that you might glorify God. And collectively then, as a church, we will be able to do what God has commanded us to do in reaching our generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. We thank You for...